This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for football referees of all levels. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is PGMO Assessor. PGMO Observer and Southwest Pool Referee Observer Coordinator, Richard Mellon. And of course, my mentor.
Thanks, Darren.
My referee.
Yeah, it's the third podcast since we made a comeback, and you're slowly getting those titles.
I'm getting the titles there. Yeah. So, Observer is one that I'm hearing a lot of these days. It still sounds a little odd when I hear people talking about
it. I'm watching football, that's what it is, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm observing.
Yes,
exactly. I'm watching football.
So, in this particular episode, we are going to put the clock on 20 minutes again in just a moment.
We're about to start.
We're getting disciplined at, which is good.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about a couple of the law changes over the last couple of seasons. So, are you ready, Rich?
Yeah, this is going to challenge me.
Go on then. Here we go. 20 minutes start now.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Okay, we're off and running. Since you have come back, there have been some huge changes in looking after the game of football as a referee. What's the one that comes to mind for you straight away?
Straight away, this is really a minor one. Obviously, the sin bin, which we have discussed.
Yep.
The handball one, which we'll go into in a minute, because that's been a big, big discussion. Big discussion since I came back in so many areas. But the one, and I did message you after this had happened, was the ball hitting the referee.
Yep.
Whereas when I last refereed, before I semi-retired, if you like, for my four seasons, the referee was always classed as a part of the field of play. And if the ball hit the referee, you just carried on.
Get on with it. Yep.
So there was a situation in one of my first games back. The ball hit me and it bounced off. The players said, well, hang on, what's going on? Drop ball, this, that, and the other. And I said, no, just play on.
The players actually knew the rules of the game, didn't they?
And they said, no, ref, it changed two or three seasons ago. And I didn't argue with it because I was like, in the back of my head, I was thinking, right, they might be right. So I'm just going to play it on and it will probably be discussed at the end of the game. Now, the team that were attacking, after the ball had hit me, they picked up the ball and they didn't score, but they were in an advantage situation off the back of it hitting me. So then that's when I messaged you and I...
Did you message me during the game?
No, after the game.
Oh, you're making it sound as though
you're carrying your phone in your back pocket.
Hang on, I'm going to phone my mentor. Phone a friend.
So, and that is probably the one that stands out at this point.
Yeah. Okay, so the ball's hit you. You stop play eventually.
I just carried on the game. That was just it. And it was, I kept going and the attacking team, they went on and had a chance, but missed.
Ooh.
Okay. But they had the ball. They were in possession of the ball anyway.
Okay.
So they were in the possession of the ball. It hit me, but they picked it up and they went on. And
I'm glad nothing come of it.
Now I am.
Because although they were the team that had the ball prior to you getting hit, the fact that they get an advantage from it and the opposition know what the restart should be, that will become a disadvantage for that team because they expect you to know the laws of the game.
So that was one of the laws of the game that I wasn't aware of.
Okay. So what will you do next time? What are you going to do next time?
I will obviously stop the game.
Yep.
And I will give it as a drop ball to the team that didn't have the advantage, is that right?
The team that had possession.
The team that had possession.
Yeah, yeah. Possession and the last definite touch.
So the team that last had possession, and it's up to them what they do with it. Once the ball drops, they can pass it to one of their players.
So they could
just literally pick up where they left off.
Mm.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty well what does happen. But whilst there are people out there that think, oh, you've got the advantage, get on with it. Mm. You can't do that. Those days of that happening are no longer.
So for those who have not had this done to them yet or are new to the game, it is a case of if the ball hits you now, stop, drop ball to the team that had the ball before it hit you.
I want to, if I go
Do we
back,
need to elaborate on this at any point?
I'll go back to the point of drop ball. It is a drop ball and you drop the ball from about your waist. It's not a bounce up because some people call them bounce ups. Mm. And of course, when you start bounce up, you know, the ball bounces, you know, silly height. And on dry grounds, hard grounds, you know, it will not be so easy to get down and control, because as soon as you drop the ball or bounce up, whatever you wish to call it, the ball is around about the midriff and another challenge will come in very quickly. So, you know, drop the ball, let the gentle restart begin. And I think it's, I can't remember off the top of my head, any listeners that are going to pick this up in the next day or so, I think it's about 4 yards. I think it's 4 yards from the restart position. That's where the opposition should be.
And once the ball has dropped, can the opposition come in and start challenging?
Yes.
They can.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's quite simple, but it is, you know, it is a challenge for the first time. Mm. And any of our new listeners, new referees listening, good luck. Good luck. Not easy. Okay, let's have another one. Let me ask you about, have you had the defensive wall, attacking free kick?
Yes, I have.
What have you done? How have you set up the attacking defensive wall, attacking free kick?
I have set it up as I always did do, pointed to where I want the free kick taken from, and then I've done my 10-metre distance.
9.15,
sorry.
Thank you. See, thank you. You make me look good.
Oh, Rich. Yeah. That's why I do the podcast.
So. You make me look good.
So, 9.15, and I'll ask the guys to come back at that point.
Yep.
And then I'll go and take up my position.
What's your style of getting the wall back? Do you march out the 10 yards?
Yeah.
You know, in front of them?
It depends
where
it is.
Do you go to the side?
No, it depends where it is. Mm-hmm. If it's close to goal, then I'll be quite pedantic with it because there's a goal-scoring opportunity at a close range. But
so you're going to say, on the whistle, lads?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, always, yeah. Yeah. If it's further back, you can pretty much judge what 10 metres are.
Okay.
Sorry, 9.15 metres are.
I've got you now.
So if it's in the middle of the field of play or in the defensive area, then, you know, I'm not so strict with it. But in the attacking third...
Would you allow a quick free kick there?
Again, it depends on the... Okay. It depends on the nature of the...
Right. You've given a free kick.
I've given a free
ref,
kick.
Ref, we want to take it quick.
Yeah, if they want to and they want to get on with it, then I'll do it.
How do you gauge it's right to or safe to? How do you gauge that?
I think, for me, the pace in which the game was at, because if the free kick that was given was not one where somebody's rolling around in pain or anything like that, mm-hmm. and it was just a, whoosh, there you go, free kick, quick one, ref, yeah, okay, no problems, you know, where the offending player mm-hmm. knows that he's done wrong,
yeah,
okay, and it's literally a case of, let's get on with it.
You need to slow the game down sometimes, yeah. don't you, to take that temperature, drop the temperature a little bit. And not let the game stay, you know, what's going on, say, it's a bit cheesy, a bit choice. You know, you don't want quick free kicks if it's keeping the temperature high. The tempo is good, but it's the difference between temperature and tempo.
Yeah, if I want to slow things down or it's getting a bit too chopsy, then that's the time to do it.
Kill it.
Just stop it dead.
Absolutely right.
So I would, mark out. And as I'm marking out, I would be inclined to pace it.
Do you walk in front of the wall?
Do I walk in front of the wall? Yeah. No, because they'll start lining up where they feel mm-hmm. is right anyway.
Yeah.
And then I'll walk to the side of them and I'll have my arm out and I'll do that thing where I say, come on, lads, back to where my arm is.
Do you make any contact with the players?
No. They might back towards my arm, but I wouldn't sort of...
Okay.
Tap them or anything like that.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that all the procedures that you're doing are... what's are expected, you know, because once you start touching players, there's a familiarity that is creeping in, which they think they can do to you.
Yeah.
And touching players, I wouldn't agree to it entirely, but there are occasions when there's a player injured and you put your hand on his back, that's a different situation. But where you have an attacking free kick and you start pushing players around with your arm outstretched, and I use the word pushing carefully because it's probably not the best description, but it's as close as what I can say as regards what you're doing. You're asking the players to come back and you're moving them back with your arm out, and all of a sudden there may be a bit of contact between you and somebody in the wall. It's a question of how do you get them back. I would say always see the faces of those in the wall. Always know that they're there, and so they know you where you are, rather than go behind them and start talking to the backs of their heads. That's not good practice, talking to the back of their heads. They're not going to take any notice, and respect is disappearing.
So being on the side, they can see you and you can have that little bit of contact as well.
Eye contact.
I think as well, in my experience, the use of the whistle when you've given the free kick
mm-hmm.
and if you're assertive with it. And I think if you've made your presence felt from the start of the game, I think they respond anyway.
Yeah.
So it makes it a bit easier for you.
Yeah, yeah. I think the one or two of the traits about lining up the wall is not measuring out 9.15, looking down at the ground. There's so many of our referees that look down at the ground when they're measuring out. And you know what they're thinking. One, two, three. And they're not looking at the players. They're not imposing themselves on it. They're not creating a presence by, you know, right, lads, let's have you back. Come on, work with me, lads, please. Work with me and get them back the required distance. And then you're setting up. Where do you go for a set for a position there and other players?
It depends where the free kick is being taken from, really.
Okay. Describe what you would do in a central position, 5 yards out from the goal. From the penalty area.
A central position, I would then... I'm just visualising this now in my head. So you've got... I would, as I'm facing the goal, I would then probably swing down into my left-hand corner. So I am... I can see everything from that angle, if you like.
Right. You've got four or five in the wall, in the defensive wall. Mm-hmm. You've got no attackers because they're not allowed in the wall anymore. So they've got to be within an acceptable distance. And I'll ask listeners to check what that distance is to make sure that they're not in the wall or in contact with the wall in any way. But the position that you need to take is something that... So it allows you to see the deflection or the block in by the wall. Standing sort of alongside the wall or parallel to the defensive wall is not very helpful for detection of who did the ball hit and where did it hit the player. So that's why I suggest that you come back to a yard or two behind the line of the ball and behind out the way of the player, or you know, sliding the
ball
across.
So you're facing it.
Yes.
Right.
You're facing the wall and you're facing the goal that's another 20, 22 yards behind you or behind the wall. So it's a case of not going alongside the wall for the free kick, because that's no good to you to detect any deflections, and that the position is behind the line of the ball.
But then you've got your back to the players behind you.
How many players are behind you?
There's probably not going to be...
Not many. Because an attacking free kick, there's going to be quite a few attackers, but there's going to be a lot of defenders. You know, 8-9 defenders, maybe one up on halfway behind you who's not going to defend for that moment. But it's all depends how you set that defensive wall up and knowing where the opposition should be when that wall is set. Yeah.
Okay.
Happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. Okay, what else? Handball?
Let's do the handball, because there's a lot of talk about that.
This is...
And a lot of lot of discussion, a lot of people saying, oh, it's ruining the game. Just for those that are still a bit confused by it, just explain what the change is, Rich.
The change, it's really... I want to say, and I'll be careful how I put this across, but it is really big changes for the professional game. Huge changes, interpretation. I could use a couple of examples that have been shown on the TV recently. There was an Arsenal one, and I can't remember who the player was. It might have been Mustafi, who was the Arsenal player. It hit him on the upper part of the arm. I would have thought that's a handball, you know, but it wasn't given. A week or so later, there was a handball that was given against Eric Dier, the Spurs defender, and it was a bit of a surprise. So the interpretations at the Premier League level are not exactly the best examples that we should be using at grassroots. Let's go back to some simple thinking about what we expect and what the players expect at the level they're playing at. Mm. They watch the telly like the rest of us. We can't all copy what the professional players do. They are elite players. They are good at what they do. And the referees are equally adept at what they need to do for the professional level. But we can't copy that, I'm afraid. That's my version of looking at it. So what do we do with handball at grassroots level?
I've never been much of a stickler for giving handballs unless they are blatant, unless it's ball has blatantly been controlled, or it's just somebody who's just stuck their hand out. When the ones that I get really frustrated and annoyed with as a referee is when the ball is kicked at a player and it hits their arm. Hits their arm.
Okay, that's a good place to start.
For me, that is not a handball.
But what are the considerations that you're going to make then if that's not a handball? What are the considerations when the ball hits him from close proximity?
Well, if you're in close proximity and the ball is kicked or it's bounced up as part of a challenge between two players, okay, and it's inadvertently hit their hand.
Describe close proximity. What would that be for you?
Well, as part of a challenge, really, as part of...
Okay, I'm on the edge of the D. The edge of the D on the penalty area, and there's about seven or eight defenders in the penalty area. I'm having a shot on goal, and the ball hits the defender, who turns his back on me, mm-hmm, but my shot hits him there on the back of the arm.
It hits him on the back of the arm.
Yeah, I've turned my back.
I wouldn't give a handball for that.
Okay.
Unless his arms were out.
Okay.
And
see, you're coming into the way of thinking now, like a referee should be, as regards the position of the arms. The position of the arms is gonna dictate your decision.
If the arms are out, he's creating an environment or a...
Making himself bigger.
Making himself bigger, yeah. But if they're turning around... This just reminded me of an incident a couple of weeks ago, actually. And I was the assistant referee at Bridgewater Town, and the free kick was taken from just in front of where I was stood, okay? He was crossing... In fact, it was a free kick. No, he crossed the ball in, and the defender ran towards... And he turned.
Okay. Let me throw now, a couple of ideas in there then. Do you think players...
He turned, and the ball came in with a bit of pace, mm-hmm, and as he turned around, and his arm wasn't in a blatant situation, it bounded off him as he was turning around, but he wasn't making himself bigger.
How far did the ball travel? What was the distance?
Oh, it went into the goal area, so it wasn't even... The ball didn't stop or anything like that. So,
do you think it was clumsy? Was it careless?
No, I just don't think it was. The defender was coming out to get the ball, and the attacker he sort of lobbed it in. Okay. And as he lobbed it in, the defender jumped and turned around, but it sort of just skimmed the edge of that bit between the elbow and the shoulder.
You're wearing a T-shirt there, and the indication in the IFAB laws of the game suggest that wearing a T-shirt is a good example of where the ball, if it hits the bare skin, mm-hmm, that is handball.
Yeah.
If it hits the clothing part of the T-shirt,
it's not.
That's not handball. Yeah. And I think that's a good indication that should be used by everybody.
I would suggest that the ball hit probably at the bit where the T-shirt...
I don't know
ends.
What that muscle's
no,
called.
I know. Yeah.
I'm surprised muscle you got there. Muscles, Dan.
Yeah, well, so am I. Sparrow's kneecaps, as my dad would say. But it didn't really affect the ball or anything like that.
I think there will be challenges that come up in the future somewhere, and it might be tomorrow even, could be next week, we don't know when, where I think you'll be challenged to make a decision about handball. And I think you've got to consider the position of the arms, the distance the ball has travelled, and the speed of what everything is happening. And sometimes you will not give a handball for obvious reasons, mm-hmm, because he's not had a chance to think about it. Because I think if a player thinks about where should I put my arms, can I put my arms, if I turn my head away and put my arms up, Is that deceiving the referee to think I'm not interested? Mm. Because if I turn my hand... Sorry, I've turned away from the microphone then. If I turn away from the microphone briefly...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But put my arms up...
Your arms up, then...
Will you deem that?
Well, if the ball hits the arms, then he shouldn't... It's an unnatural position.
Okay. That's a good description.
He might well be, or she might well be, protecting their face.
And the other thing I want to allude to this... In defence, you cannot score a goal even if it's accidental off of the arm. Mm. You cannot score a goal. So if you were to see that tomorrow, I would say to you, if a ball bounces off the arm there and straight into the goal, although you don't think the handball was intentional, you cannot score a goal coming off the arm or as handball. Let's call that.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's... There is a lot of, it's a difficult explanation, but it's one of those that when you see it, you know what you're going to do. But just go back on what I said, some of the examples that we're seeing at the professional level are not the best examples to do. But it will come back to grassroots football and it will challenge our referees and it will challenge our players. But all I'd say is look at some of the stuff that we've known in the past. It still is useful to know, but also consider those things that we've been discussing, the position, the speed of which the ball comes and hits the player, and what happens when the ball has hit the attacker. Has it gone to another player who's put it in the back of the net? If it's come off the hand, gone to his mate, it was accidental. That word is no longer in the referee's mind.
Just refresh me if the goal does go in off the defender's arm.
Unlucky. That's unlucky.
It goes in, it's a goal. And,
That's unlucky. Yeah. That's just unlucky. But often an attacker, it cannot happen. You can't score. You cannot score a goal with the ball coming off your arm or your hand.
And the restart?
It's free kick.
It's free kick.
Free kick to defence.
Yeah. Okay. It's the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullen and Richard Mellon. We're trying to stick to our 20-minute... Oh, look at that. Beautiful. Rich holds up the phone. It says 21 minutes and 32 seconds.
There we go.
That's a good shout, that, isn't it? And we've only just touched on a couple of the law changes over the last few seasons. One of them was obviously the drop ball that we talked about after the ball hitting the referee. And, of course, that one, the handball, which is going to be open for debate for many, many moons to come.
Yeah. And what about the one we haven't talked about, and we're certainly not going to, but I'll leave it for the next podcast, the goal kick. How that has changed the game.
Yeah, yeah. That's all to come. And don't forget, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Referees World or on Facebook, search out Referees World Podcast. Like us, get in touch with us either way. Join us for the next episode. Oh, and don't forget, you can listen online as well at refereesworld.co.uk.
The download is complete.
Referees World. Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk or search iTunes for Referees World.